Let me say again and reiterate, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad for the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. There's something, there are a lot of things that God can do that man cannot replicate. I don't know how you feel this morning, but there's a heaviness in my heart this morning. Maybe somebody's here that don't know the Lord and you've never truly been saved. I'm afraid in the day and age we live, we've turned that into nothing more than a decision for Christ. And those words scare me today, if I'm going to be honest with you. There has to be work on the other end. God has to do the convicting. And in that sense, we are chosen. In that sense, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a Calvinist, but God begins to move and draw us. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. And I'm glad that God has the power to draw this morning. I want you to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of John, 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. But I want to read to you a few verses from Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah said, the prophecy concerning the Lord. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And a branch that shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. This is skipping a few verses to verse 10. I don't want you to think I'm taking this out of context. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And then, turning to the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter, Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I want you to notice verse 4 and verse 5. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, he said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that be in the name of Jesus. God, I'm so thankful for your mercy and your grace. But God, I'm so thankful for your plan of salvation. God, how that salvation is not a decision that man makes. Lord, salvation comes from the Lord. It is an act of heaven toward us. God, I thank you that your Spirit has the power, Lord, to convict. Your Spirit has the power, Lord, to draw. Your Spirit has the power to put us right where we need to be on our face before a thrice holy God. God, I'm so ashamed in the day and age we live that man has taken fear out of the equation. And I know you said in Jude that have compassion of some making a difference. But you also said, Lord, that we're to fear, and by fear we can see people saved, pulling them out of the fire. God, I thank you, Lord, that when conviction comes, Lord, the reality that we are separated from you, Lord, the reality that until we're saved by grace, that hell is our home. And God, there's some that say that this doctrine is too much. It's too heavy. God, it is your word. It is truth. And it'll always stand. So God, save with compassion, save with fear, but in all things, Father, we pray, save to the uttermost. Now God, as we come to you, Lord, take these little old lips of clay. God, I pray, forgive me of my sin. Lord, let me say nothing except that the Holy Spirit prompts us to say. God, we'll bow unworthy heads and give you the glory and the honor for it all. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. As you heard me read in this 15th chapter, this is the last of the I Ams of the Gospel of John. I read also out of the book of Isaiah, and understand that the Jews that heard this, that were immersed and knew the law of God, understood what Jesus was saying here. There's no more any question, are you the Savior? Or should we look for another? He is telling them, I am the vine. Know what words those are. The other six I ams, and you'll find in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the bread of life. Unto the Pharisees, he said, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and are dead. But I am the bread of life that a man may eat of and live forever. He said in the 8th chapter, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. He said in the 11th chapter to Martha and to Mary, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He went on to say in the 10th chapter, he said, I am the door of the sheepfold. I'm the only way into God and I'm the only way to God. And he said, by the way, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Then he said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. In this day and age that we live, where many say there are multiple ways to God, I've come to tell you, according to the Scripture, there's only one way into the fellowship with God and to have peace with God, and it's through the crucified body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That husbandman, some interpret that to be the vine dresser. What it was a farmer that worked in the vineyard. It was his job, to make sure that vineyard had the choicest of vine. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He's the only vine. He's the true vine. He's the choicest of vine. And through him, all the goodness of God, through him all the blessings of God, through him the salvation of God flows, through him and no other. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know that husbandman, it was his job to plant the vine. It was his job to till the ground. I'm going to tell you, when God begins to deal with your heart, oh, he knows how. You know, and y'all know what I do for a living. You know that I'm a farmer. I know something about turning the ground and breaking up the fallow ground. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost of God begins to deal with you, he'll turn up the fallow ground in your heart. They'll be able to have something planted inside of you. You know what you need? You don't need any more of the world. You need the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now here, his job was to plant the vine, and then it was his job to take care of it. Don't you know our Father loved Jesus? You know the greatest testimony of who Jesus was and who he is given by our Heavenly Father. You remember what he said down at the river when John was baptized? You remember what he said on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to tell you, there's never been another like Jesus. There are a lot of men that claim this, that, and the other. There's only one beloved, darling Son of God. His name is Jesus. And he died on a cross for our sin. That vine dresser would take as that vine grew, and he would hang it up. You know, have you seen in a vineyard how they'll run wires across on key posts and how they'll begin to wind that vine and lift it up off the ground? Oh, it made me think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was lifted up on a cross, and every eye that was there could behold him. Well, I want you to know he's high and lifted up. Listen, he was hung between the heavens and the earth for you and for me. Whenever we come to that place in our life where the conviction of God comes into our heart and into our life, Paul said it like this in one place: sin revived and I died. You know what happens? It's like pulling a branch off a tree or pulling a branch off a grapevine. When you pull it off and separate it from the vine, it's dead. It's no longer attached to the source of life. And if you leave it there long enough and it's not attached back to the vine, it will dry up and it will die. And all that the souls who found their way into perdition and everlasting judgment, because when they were unattached from the vine, they did nothing about the state that they were in. All they had to do was be that of clay in the hands of the potter. Do you know what the good hand of God will do? He'll reach down when you've been separated, when you're a sinner lost and undone, and he'll pick you up and attach you back to the vine. But I'm going to tell you something about that vine. That vine, in order for you to be attached to it, it had to be wounded. It had to be bruised. Listen, the Bible tells us that he was wounded. He was wounded for our iniquities and bruised for our transgressions. You remember when Pilate took him out in the courtyard and had him whipped with a cat of nine tails? And the book of Isaiah tells us firmly that by his stripes we are healed. With every place that they stripped and broke his flesh was a place for you and I to be planted into. That what did him might flow in and through us. And by the way, Jesus said, you're now clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. What can wash away my sin? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to know, when that Roman soldier took that spear and pierced his side, and the blood and the water began to flow, it made a place for the Gentile church to be grafted into the body of Christ. He had to be bruised. There, that vine, the true vine hanging between the heavens and the earth. And it pleased God. You understand that? It pleased God. It was the will of God for him to be broken. It was the will of God. Now, when I say broken, not a bone of him was broken, but for his flesh to be broken, for his blood to begin. And somebody said his blood spilled. I want to promise you this. Not one drop of it was spilled. Not one drop of it was shed in vain. It was for your redemption. It was for your salvation. And it's for my salvation. And thank God, as a 12-year-old boy, conviction come. And I seen revived. And I died. I realized I needed the Lord. I was lost and undone. And there was a drawing power by the Spirit of God. I came to an altar of prayer and I confessed my sin. You know what the Lord done? You know what God done? He reached down and he placed me into the broken side of Christ. Oh, I've been grafted into the true vine. I'm a part of him, and thank God he's a part of me. Oh, glory. Men look at other men and call them good. There's none that's good except the Lord. Do you realize any goodness we have is because once when I got grafted in, watching him begin to flow in and through me. That's the only goodness I have. If you really say that's the only goodness you have. But having said that, oh, what a blessing to have what's in Christ to flow through us. When I got saved, there was a love in my heart that was not there before. That self began to flow. Oh, there was a peace like I never felt. And it's still there today. Oh, all the devils in hell can't mine it away. And it's flowing in my heart. Oh, and it feels good. You say, preacher, why do you cry? I tell you why I cry. Because the sap is still flowing. And this branch that was once dead is alive. And oh, it feels good to be alive. And now, Jesus said, it's the Father's will for you and for I to produce fruit. And we cannot do this of ourselves. We cannot do this of our own validity. I'm telling you, in the day and age we live, we have lost the relationship of Christianity, which is our relationship to God. Through and only, I'm going to say that word again, only through Christ. There are so many people that are dying and going to hell because of religion. Listen, this is more, and I'm going to tell you, God wrote every principle. God wrote every desire and commandment in His Word, and they're still good. We agree. The commandments of God. Did He do away with them? No, He did not. But when Christ said it is finished, did He fulfill them? Yes, He did. I want to tell you this. Listen, my friend, it's more than just rules and regulations. It's the sound flowing through Christ and from Christ through us. You know why there's so many miserable Christians? Because we attach ourselves to other things other than the vine. Now I want you to hear this. You want to be a miserable Christian, attach yourself to the spirit of this age. The spirit of this age that says there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no truth. Everything is relative. I'm going to tell you, that spirit leads to nothing more than hopelessness. I'm going to tell you this, so thank God the Spirit of God teaches us there is truth. And truth is not something that we're just looking for. Truth is someone I've met. His name's Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to tell you this. If we're not producing fruit, are we really attached to the vine? Do you realize what He went through to give us a place to be attached? Let me ask you this. If we look at your life and look at my life right now, I mean, right now, take a snapshot of where you're at right now. I'm not talking about 10 minutes from now. I'm not talking about 10 days ago. I'm talking about right now. Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? What do people see in your life? There's so much hostility and there's so much anger. Part of the so-called body of Christ has gotten so self-righteous, they forget that they were even purged from their sin. That's religion. Then the other part, on the left side, says, well, we can do anything because everybody's going to heaven and there's no hell. And both of those are a lie. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there is a reward for living for Christ. And it's called eternity in heaven. Amen. We've got these far ends of the spectrum. Jesus is the straight and the narrow way in the middle. But I want to remind you of this. You're not the reason you are who you are. If you're anything for the kingdom of God, it's Christ in you. Yeah, so many times it's Christ even in spite of me. You say, what do you mean, Brother Russell? I'm telling you, there are times I attach myself, and all it does is drain the vitality. And all it does, you know what? It makes us fruitless. But here's the message in a nutshell. Would you love to just be unified with Jesus? How long has it been since you've had that pure flow of what's in Him flowing through you? You say, what is that? Well, Galatians defines that. Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. How's your love? Can you love sinners? Can you love lost? Can you love the unlovable? Do you truly have joy? And you know how in the old days we knew that the Spirit of God was moving? These old ladies would sit in a church and, what's Elsie Bennett's wife's name? Betty. Y'all heard Betty, she'd get so full, the Lord would begin to stir. Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? And she'd start to, what's going on? The sap was flowing. You know what the Bible said in Psalms 104? The trees of the Lord are full of sap. I tell you, I've felt a lot of good feelings in my life. Nothing ever compares to when the sap starts moving. Oh, down in my heart and in my soul. How long has it been since the sap has really flowed? Love, peace, and joy. Then it gets into how we deal with each other. Boy, I don't like, this is a tough one. Long suffering. Anybody know that means patience? Toward each other. Gentleness and kindness. I tell you what I love about children. They'll find you out in a heartbeat. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what Ruby was doing this morning. She started crying. I thought maybe I was singing bad. But there was this little old tenderness in her heart. You know what? She's not been affected by... What if she was feeling the Lord? And then we've got to be really careful in our reaction and the way we bear fruit and the way people see us and our relationship with God. See, there's a kindness. Could the world use some kindness? That meekness. My goodness, people have gotten so doggone arrogant now. They think there's something, somebody. And then temperance, and that's self-control. To be able to control our emotions and be able to live a life that glorifies the Lord. He said, it's my will, Jesus did, that you bear fruit. Now here, and I'm going to close here in a minute. This is a part of Christianity that a lot of men don't preach on. But I'm going to preach on it this morning. He not only plants the vine, He not only lifted the vine up, listen, He not only attached us to the vine, but you know what He does? He purges us. Now, has anybody ever been purged of God? If you hadn't, I've got to wonder if you've ever been saved. Have you ever had God, since you've been saved, convict you of something in your life? That is the purging of the Holy Spirit of God. It's to make us more like Christ and to allow His Spirit to flow in and through us. I tell you what this preacher needs, and I'm persuaded we all do. We all need a little purging. And the master of the vineyard knows how. Pull out his clippers. You know what his clippers are, don't you? Sharp, two-edged sword. Anybody know what that is? That's the Word of God. And He begins to prune our lives. And we walk in accordance to our faith in Christ. Stand to your feet this morning, if you will. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to hear this now. May the Holy Spirit of God give you understanding. You don't have the power to place yourself in the vine. Now that's where easy believism has destroyed the body of Christ. We come anytime we want to come. We can come any way we want to come. I'm going to tell you, not according to the Scripture. There has to be a drawing and a wooing and a moving of the Holy Ghost of God. A drawing. No man comes unto me except the Father draw him. How many millions of people have made a decision for Christ in their mind, but never had a soul changing experience with the Lord? And when something as big as God moves in your heart, and when you get attached to the vine, I'm going to tell you, it's the most different thing I can ever even explain. But I've got an experience of where I've been attached to the vine. If you don't have that this morning, and God is drawing you, you know what? The wounded side of Jesus, when that soldier stuck that spear in his side, God made a place for you to be grafted in. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul talked about the olive tree. Same thing, being grafted in. Now I want you to know, you can be grafted in, but it'll take the Lord, and it'll take you moving by faith and believing. Get us a song, if you will, this morning, Noah and Stevie. That's the message. Oh, thank God, I've been grafted in. You know, we're going through the time of the year where the leaves falling off the trees. Anybody know what that means? The sap in the trees is falling. You know what? Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, look, you're trying to figure this out, Nicodemus. The Spirit of God is like the wind. You can't tell from where it comes. You can't tell where it goes. But boy, when the leaves on the trees move, you can see the evidence of it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, church, the sap don't have to fall in the autumn time. Not in the house of God. It can still rise. But we'll have to follow the Lord for that to happen. If you need to pray this morning, God has spoken your heart. This altar's wide open. What do you got, Steve?